Hey, it's the FinTech Newscast. My name's John, and with me, as always, is Steve. How are you doing?
John, I am sad. How are you?
Oh man, nothing new there. Okay, let's move on. No, what are you sad about, Steve?
I just keep losing money in crypto, John. What am I doing wrong? Tell me, please. What am I doing wrong?
Nothing. Your time frame is just too short. Everything will
Oh.
go up eventually. Come on.
Everything. You say everything, huh?
Everything. Put it all into Dogecoin.
See, I invest on
Our
basically
punching bag.
a 1 window, a 1 week time frame. So I expected to have a Lambo by now, but I have nothing now. I have less than what I put in. What gives?
Yeah, the market's still down. It shot up so strong the first few months of the year, and everything went up. And that brings me a side point there. One of the advantages, it's supposed to be uncorrelated with the market, but it's highly correlated and with each other too. So if one goes up, it seems like they all go up. So there's not a, it's hard to diversify within crypto since they move so closely together.
It seems like it is. Yeah, I think we've been fed a lie, or at least a misnomer.
Still, I think in the long run, a lot of these solid coins will keep going up there. I mean, more money will go in than less, I think, over the next few years. So
Fingers crossed, inshallah.
fingers crossed. Yeah. Hopefully you double that $20 investment. Well, there's more solid ways to make money, and that's just good old-fashioned hard work and smarts. And in the banking world, we have a perfect guest to introduce us to a lot of new things that are happening, at least in the banking world. We have John Dangoya, the VP and Head of Product Management for the US and Europe from Finacle. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John and Steve. Great to be here. Great to be here. Look forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, we have a lot to ask you about. You have a great experience in a lot of different places, and you're in a very interesting area now. It looks like you guys are working a lot with AI and applying that to financial services. Tell us what is going on lately with Finacle.
Sure. That'd be great. These are exciting times for Finacle and really helping banks to pave the way for their digital future. And as you mentioned, I head up product management for Finacle for the US and Europe regions. And really, my role is to lead our product strategy and execution to ensure, that we're really more relevant than ever for our clients. And just to give you a bit of quick background on myself, I've got a passion for product management, leading teams, and really being the quarterback of sorts, which is why I've gravitated to these type of positions over the past 20 plus years. I was really fortunate to get my start in banking right out of school and just haven't looked back. In fact, the first half of my career was spent working for a top five financial institution in the US. And I got a chance to work for some tremendous leaders and learn the ropes, so to say. As my career progressed, I had the opportunity to lead teams in product, sales, marketing, operations. And then the second half of my career has been spent really working for technology partners with financial institutions, leading the high growth and innovative product areas. And so, yeah, and my
So
passion was all,
has that been more
yeah, go
fun than the first half? You kind of apply what
ahead.
you've learned a little bit also?
It's just been an exciting transition for me. It's almost like my first half was education, learning about what happens in the business, how to make money, how to please customers. And the second half has really been about how do you apply that to technology and how do you make sure that you build great products that customers will love. So for me, it's been a great journey and wouldn't trade any of it for sure.
So, what are some of the latest things? I noticed that the AI gets mentioned a lot on the Finacle searches. What are some of the new things, and what are some of the things that you're surprised haven't moved forward quicker?
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about Finacle first. Finacle is a great place to be right now because we are working with customers on both the retail and corporate areas. And really, our big picture plan and strategy is to work with them on their transformation journeys by really deploying our cutting-edge solutions. So, financial institutions can leverage that Finacle suite to solve lots of business challenges, innovate, launch new products, create some great frictionless banking experience. And, for us, there's three reasons why we really stand apart. The fact that we've got this great global platform leveraging some of the best and brightest minds across the world, We've got a highly configurable product, and we're truly one of the most scalable solutions. So, you know, the great thing is we are proud to do business with financial institutions of all sizes and business models across over 100 countries right now. And our customers serve over 1 billion consumers. So we're doing a lot right. And so what we do is we cover the gamut of most of value chain, but a lot of our focus in the U.S. is on the retail core banking side, corporate banking and cash management, digital channels, and then payments. And within these areas, we've got a lot of enterprise applications that work together. Areas like AI, analytics, customer data hub, even some blockchain solutions that we're working on right now. And all the solutions are great because they're cloud enabled and their setup is composable, which means our clients can, you know, purchase them in an on-demand manner and we can deploy them quite easy.
Composable, I've seen this a lot more lately. Is this the new way of saying modular?
Yes, it is. And it's really important these days because of the cloud enablement. So back 6-7 years ago when cloud was just emerging in banking, it was less important. But today, you know, banks are looking to deploy things much more rapidly. They're looking for easier and less expensive ways to get to market. And they need composable solutions so they can, you know, work with multiple partners. And so it's very important. And so products that don't have that are challenged today because that's what the market's looking for.
Interesting. So, John, I'm wondering since you have a really strong product management background there, how do you make sure that you stay ahead and sort of utilize the technology to its fullest potential in a way that also benefits your customers and that maybe and they can actually address real fundamental problems in the banking space?
Yeah, you know, it starts with being very, very close to your customers. So that's one thing that we really work closely at. So not only working with our customers and their strategies, we have executive product councils. We bring in these leaders to work with us and talk about where they're going. We work closely with the analyst community and then just good old fashioned hard work and research around what's happening in the market. So I don't know that there's a sort of a magic science to it. It's more of just working through the basics of product management, making sure you're covering all the bases. You know, and so on that subject, when you talk about AI and machine learning, this is a hot area for us. And what we do is we enable that through working with our real-time banking platform that is integrated to a plethora of all these in-house solutions. And the platform is also quite flexible again, so we can integrate into any fintech product quite easily, which gives our clients a lot of options. And lastly, I have to mention our customer data hub, because without data, you know, kind of challenging to do much on the AI and analytics space. So we've built this great product that can be used as part of our products or as a standalone that can set up our clients for success for AI.
Very interesting. On that same front, I'm wondering if you can tell us here what is the most interesting deployment of AI that you've seen? And I say this with the background that, you know, I used to work at a large bank, and I found that most of the AI use cases are sort of on the back end. But as a consumer, how would I see an interesting use of AI now for, say, a retail bank?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a great question. You know, so there's multiple things that are happening right now. One of the ones that you may see is advancements in best next offer. So what I mean by that is by analyzing your data and what's happening, you know, with your accounts, the bank can serve up the next best product for you. And it's something that may be a loan account, could be a deposit account, could be a savings account, could be a multitude of products. But the idea is that they're working with you, they're growing with you, and because of the data, they can provide that information for you. So those things are starting to happen. Certainly, biometrics is a place where today we open up our applications this way. But those are a couple examples that come to mind. You know, and one of the things I wanted to tell you about is really from a banking perspective, the perceptions are really, really getting interesting. And so is the investment. So let me tell you a little bit about what's happening in the overall banking industry, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. This is what we want to hear. The skinny.
Yeah. So, you know, I think banks are just starting to scratch the surface on what AI can truly do. You know, Accenture estimated that AI can add over $1.2 trillion value to the financial industry by 2035. I was reading a Bain and Company estimate just recently that said they thought that AI could deliver over $1 trillion
in cost savings. Cost savings, right? Yeah.
Yes.
We shouldn't think of that as just revenue, but
yeah. Yeah. It's so we can try to guesstimate kind of what the long-term impact will be, but I think the awareness is up. So for example, 80% of banks are aware of all the benefits or many of the benefits that AI can bring per a recent survey that was done. And then maybe more importantly, many banks are planning to deploy solutions enabled by AI right now. 75% actually of banks with over $1 billion in assets say they're actually starting to implement AI strategies. Now, the smaller banks, a little bit different, about 46% of those banks with less than $100 billion in assets reported that they were in the middle of deploying. But those numbers are way up from just a couple of years ago. So that's kind of interesting.
So employment numbers might be down. Maybe most of the jobs will be in podcasting by 2035.
There you go. Yeah, I think one other thing that's kind of interesting about the banking business, having seen it come along, is that, you know, AI certainly turned into a buzzworthy marketing term as of late, right? But I think it should be recognized that the banking business has had early versions of AI in areas like credit modeling, loss forecasting, and collection modeling now for decades, right? And so some of the most significant progress in the last few years that I think we're seeing is in the area of payments, chatbots, biometrics, and voice recognition, to a certain extent, marketing analytics, like I spoke of before. And so I think as the result of that, you're seeing these modern technologies really make a difference. And part of it is just the technology is that much better. We've got the ability to process information so much faster than we did years ago. And so, you know, that's part of the process. But I think right now banks just really need to step back and rethink their process strategies. It's, you know, in particular in the context of process execution, like the question you asked a minute ago, because it's how can you augment the human capabilities to deliver a better product? And I think that that's really key. Things like AI-driven vision, listening, speech, and voice capabilities that can help branch operators to do a better job and to deliver a better service for the banks. So the point is we've got a lot of opportunity here, right? We're just scratching the surface right now.
So that's on the plus side. I think on the downfall side, as a third party provider for banks, right? You may be responsible for maybe some of the algorithms that they use, but how do you then make sure that those algorithms don't have a negative outcome? So how do you, for example, make sure that whenever you build an AI platform for banks to do some underwriting, they're doing so in a way that doesn't violate, say, UDAP rules or something like that?
Yeah, that's a great question and an interesting one that I think we're all learning into, but. You know, I have a few thoughts on this one. And I think one thing that is great about the banking business, and it's different than other verticals and social platforms for say, is in banking, we do have some built-in compliance controls for many of these areas. Areas like ECOA, fair lending, UDAP, as you said, privacy laws, you know, GDPR in Europe, or even collection regulations, you know, to protect consumers. So our regulatory environment is fairly prescriptive on how we use data already for decision making. So the neat thing is we have some ready-made rules in place to provide guide rails in this area. But however, as AI gains popularity, it's going to attract more attention from regulators. I think the application of AI in banking has many benefits, but it could have some drawbacks, like the potential for transparency and bias in the algorithms. So due to kind of the unique characteristics of that, AI doesn't always conform to those frameworks. But so I believe the regulators will adapt over time. But the thing is, you know, if we're doing the testing, if we're doing fair lending testing on the back end, if we're building the algorithms with these compliance rules in place, we'll be way ahead. And so, you know, we've got a great compliance department that we work with here. And, you know, some of the things that they've kept on top of is that, you know, right now the Financial Stability Board is acknowledge the benefit of AI solutions to consumers as well as banks. So they're supportive of it. The Fed supports banks adopting AI because it's certainly concerned that non-regulated entities may get an advantage over banks today. So the bottom line is the Fed has said it will be relying on existing regulatory and supervisory guardrails today to assess the appropriate approach for AI processes for now. So we're going to build it per the rules we have in place. I think the bankers have to accept a little bit of uncertainty right now. And our hope is that the regulators continue to evolve. Interesting thing is regulators are even starting to use some AI tools, particularly in the, you know, the financial area for FINRA. They're starting to use AI in some of their audits, which I think is an interesting twist on all this.
So John, you're in your role now, you're basically head of product management for both the US and Europe. How can you compare and contrast the banking as a service and sort of the AI-led banking spaces in both Europe and in the US?
Yeah, I would say the biggest difference right now is Europe is ahead on the open banking standards. So there's a lot of talk of buy-in, which is a wonderful group that we work with around data standards and how those apply and how to build the system of the future with these guidelines. In the U.S., we don't have the same regulatory pressure from an open banking perspective. But yet there's a lot of banks that we work with today in the U.S. that are also starting to jump on these buy-in standards and work together on that. I think we see at times the largest banks in the U.S. are obviously the most advanced. And I can give some examples later about some great things that some of our leaders in the industry are doing right now. So, I mean, certainly the largest banks have the most money to invest. So they've done some really, really incredible things. In Europe, again, some open banking standards have allowed for data flow that provides a great opportunity to be able to increase AI across the board.
Yeah, you know that AI is doing well because more people are looking at it and looking more critically at it. You mentioned bias, and there was an interesting article, I think it was in MIT Technology Reviews, about how AI can't solve for bias because in some cases, like for underserved markets, because there's just less data for the underserved population. And, you know, the regulators, of course, are aware and looking at those issues. But still a great way to make things more efficient. But definitely challenges. But I think that's a great sign. It's a sign that it's maturing.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
It's also John, from a product and company perspective, I know that you're also part of the Infosys family. And for those of you who may not know, Infosys is one of the giant Indian technology systems integrator companies. How does Finacle benefit from that relationship, and how does it maybe hinder what you can do as well?
Boy, that's a great question, and Infosys is a great parent company for Finacle. We are huge in the financial services space, right? So we've got our financial services divisions that works with, you know, most of the large and medium-sized banks in the United States. So we partner very closely with them with our software division here at Finacle. The other thing is we have another division called Edgeverve that works on many solutions in the AI space too. So we partner with them to work on some of their very creative and innovative solutions that they offer as well. So what we do is we work together to solve customers' problems. And what brings us together is that we've got a world-class services organization with plenty of incredible people with deep skill sets. We have our software division that we work on, and then we have the group within Edgeverve that also provides products that can enhance the overall value chain and the value proposition that we put together. So between us, we work with customers to solve their problems and deliver what we believe is best-in-class solutions across the board. So it's a very tight relationship that we have across the world. And sometimes we'll make introductions, sometimes they'll make introductions. But the idea is we've got the resources and the products to deliver something that's really great. And it's resonating. Infosys just had a tremendous year with over double-digit growth for during a, you know, this very challenging pandemic. So, and we expect this year to be a fantastic one as well.
Excellent. And from a customer perspective as well, John, it's you mentioned that you work with over 100 banks who, or 100 different countries, rather. What would you say is the sweet spot for a customer to use the Finacle platform? Is it the larger multinational bank or a credit union or somewhere in the middle? What is sort of the ideal candidate for your product?
You know, that's a really great question. And it depends on the product. We've got such a deep product set that we offer today, that it depends on, you know, that. So we have customers of all sizes, and we also do business with other financial institutions that are sort of non-bank entities. So, you know, for us, it's about trying to understand the strategy that the customer is looking to go down and working with them to fit that product that, that makes the most sense for them. So in the US, we spend most of our time on retail core banking, on the corporate banking side, the digital channels area, and we do some payments as well. But globally, you know, again, we serve a lot of different customers. In the US specifically, we have customers in all sizes and credit unions as well. So we've got a great product offering. It's a matter of sitting down and envisioning that digital roadmap and then working with them to find out what fits their budgets and to figure out where they want to go first. A lot of options for us.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, the non-bank applications. I assume that's it meets some kind of strategic goal or supplements their existing business. To offer banking-like products like payments or debit cards or paying their employees some way or vendors, something like that. What are some of those main, what do you guys see as your main non-bank applications?
Yeah, you've nailed it. So typically what we're seeing is we're seeing institutions come in to want to buy a piece of the deposit process, or they can want to, you know, add a lending portfolio to what they're already doing. They could want just a piece of our technology like blockchain to add to what they're doing. So again, we've got a lot of flexibility, and given we have those composable solutions, we can deploy those for them pretty rapidly. So, you know, for us, it's again, about sitting down, thinking through their strategy. Oftentimes they've done a little bit of a market scan, and they know Infosys has the flexibility to be able to work with their situation. And then from there, we work on deploying that as quickly as we can so they can get value.
So can you just be the marketing arm? Or I mean, like I could just start a bank, just do the marketing and have everything else outsourced if I want to do some, let's say, the traditional banking products?
Yeah, we could. And in fact, we're working with some clients on that right now, and in deploying those solutions, we've done it in a number of places where we can deploy, you know, the banking services sort of in a box and be able to, you know, take over all of the servicing and help that bank to be successful.
And this is pretty quick because you have these, like you were saying, composable products. So how long would it take to offer like the FinTech Newscast debit card and checking account?
Yeah, something basic like that we could do in 3 to 6 months, depending on the complexity that you were looking for.
There okay. You go, John. Hashtag 2022, here we go.
Yeah, you know, and what's great about our solutions is that they're highly configurable. So let's say we launch in 3 months, we get you up and running, and you decide that, you know, you'd like to modify that product or offer another product, you can simply do that without any sort of coding and go ahead and launch that product soon after. So our products are so configurable. It's one of the things our customers really love about
it. Yeah, and you work in a lot of countries. What are some of the easier countries to get up and running in, some of the harder ones?
I don't know that I would say that there's any harder ones. You know, certainly the more developed nations are easier because they have existing rules and standards. And quite frankly, we probably would have deployed our solutions already in their countries. You know, I think certainly the U.S. is a highly regulated environment, which is why we're so pleased to be here, because it's not easy for other entrants to come in and to have a compliance solution, which we have. European market is great to work in. They've got, you know, again, the open banking standards, some really good rules that are highly established for data privacy, which paved the way for, you know, some pretty great products. You know, other countries like Canada are pretty innovative and they like to try new things. So we certainly like to do business there as well.
Very, very diplomatic answer. I like it. Yeah. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. Really interesting stuff, and be interesting to see what comes next.
Sounds wonderful. Thanks for having me on. I really, really enjoyed it and hope to talk again soon.
Yeah, for sure. That's John Dangoya, the VP and Head of Product Management for US and Europe at Finacle. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news, and thank you for listening.